All right, Lionel Messi, now the joint top FIFA World Cup goal scorer.
That's not that crazy.
Not,
you know what I mean?
Not that crazy at all. Miroslav, he's going to, I mean, it'd be a very big surprise if he does not break the record. It'd be a wild disappointment if he doesn't take the record for himself.
Bigger surprise, Miroslav closes like, I'm back.
Y'all talk.
Tell Julian Nagelsmann put me in, bro. Yeah. I can't let this happen.
No, but man, what a game from Lionel Messi.
You know what? All the talk about, and this is for me, about being at MLS, and maybe he's lost the step. Bruh, no, he didn't.
No, man, you got cooked by an MLS player.
Yo, Doug. By the way, and the assist came from another MLS player, Rodrigo DePaul.
Hey.
Crazy.
Okay. There's going to be some Messi glazing and some MLS glazing.
Oh, my God.
Welcome.
We're like a Krispy Kreme's, and the sign is on.
Welcome to the Cooligans Daily Live. My name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, I'm Alexis Guerreros.
We are out here in New York City. We're here at Yahoo Studios every day, noon Eastern.
To
1 p.m. Eastern.
We're here for 60 minutes.
Okay.
Just there's a
couple
soccer.
Commercial breaks throughout this World Cup.
We're still talking at the commercial break.
We don't call them
commercial. Although, hey, thank you for watching us on YouTube. If you watch us on Telemundo, you don't see the commercial breaks.
Exactly. You know that? We don't call them commercial breaks. They're hydration breaks.
We're hydration breaks.
To recover.
We got all types of Hennessy just behind these cameras.
Okay.
Hey, oh, no, sorry. Smirnoff Ice. Smirnoff Ice is the only thing we drink. Everybody remember that.
That's,
you know what? Let's do this again.
Okay.
Let's do this again. We'll start up again.
Even though we're live, we'll start.
Oh, we're live. That's right. Every day, noon to one.
What's good, everybody? Let's start today. We obviously started with that tweet, but Lionel Messi, what a remarkable start to his 2026 World Cup.
And you're wearing a shirt that makes me think someone was watching that going, I think I got to do a little bit better than him. Lionel Messi had an absolutely insane game where it wasn't so much that he scored three goals. That's incredible. His first hat trick ever in a World Cup. The most impressive was that he was effective throughout the whole game. He was defending. He was running around like he ain't 38, 39 years old.
Sure. I mean, it was an interesting aspect of, like, he did what he did in the game. You know, he rarely ever gets subbed out of matches.
Yeah.
But when you're up three, I mean, you can be a little bit more cautious.
Buddy,
but
I mean,
there was also something when he left the pitch. I thought Algeria, like, found a different energy, even though nobody's worried about Messi, like, defensively.
Yeah.
But even the fact that he just wasn't there, Algeria was like, okay, now we can try some stuff. And now we can play because we don't got to worry about this guy.
And this is another game where I'm going to say the losers should walk away pretty proud. I mean, you played Argentina. Yes, you lost.
You got to, it's enough with this narrative, bro.
No, that's but it. Oh my God, Algeria. Bro, you were balling.
It's still a 3-0 loss. I think there were a couple moments. Luka Zidane, the goalkeeper, obviously son of Zinedine Zidane.
Zizou.
Zizou's there watching his son kind of get cooked by the goat. It was kind of frustrating.
Now, here's a question. Why was he wearing a toilet seat on his face?
What are we doing, bro? Clearly, some injury required.
He broke his jaw.
Yeah.
Now, here's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to sit here and say that our healthcare is better. But I think we can send you out there not looking like, you know what I mean?
Look, I don't know the latest in toilet seat face technology, but maybe that's what was most beneficial to him.
When the camera first showed him, I thought I was seeing someone through a glory hole. I was like, why is this?
That's the largest glory hole I've ever seen. Anyway.
We need to show. We'll show a photo of him at some point. It looked like he had his head in the toilet. It just looked like he had a long night.
But look, he tried his best, and there were a couple that I thought, the second goal was like, man, you can't leave a shot. You're just gifting a goal, essentially.
It
seemed like, it is messy, and I thought the nerves were a little bit high for Algeria, even though, obviously, look, it is Lionel Messi and Argentina. So
Mbappe also had a pretty good game yesterday.
He did. Yeah. We did the reaction show, so we reacted right to it, but he had his two goals, and also Erling Haaland.
Erling Haaland, what did I say?
You said hat-trick.
What did he get?
Okay. He only got two goals.
That's pretty close.
Okay.
You said one.
I did say one.
So we both were kind of equally wrong.
We were both wrong.
But I was more confident, and you think you should be more confident? Mbappe, I think we all knew would have a great game, right? I mean,
the first half kind of told us that he might not have a great game or just, missing some good opportunities.
The adjustment to move Dembele outside just completely spread out Senegal in a way they couldn't handle. And that game, you can't give room to Mbappe. I mean, you all know his name.
If you don't give room to Mbappe, you give room to Dembele or to Désiré Doué or whatever. You're going to get cooked.
Let somebody else kill you. You know what I mean?
By somebody.
Double up Jalen Brunson is what I'm saying.
2 goals on 4 shots, but 4 shots on target. I mean, he was... I mean, you could, if he did, probably didn't have the first half that he did have, where just like kind of poor touches and missed opportunities, I would use the word clinical, but he was as close to clinical as you can get.
Yeah, but I keep thinking back to our interview with Troy Deeney, where I said, yo, you stunk it up. You missed everything for 90 minutes, but then you score and you win. Did you have a good game?
You didn't
game?
Say that directly to Troy Deeney's face, like he stunk it up. No, in general.
I said if a striker stinks it up for 89 minutes.
You don't talk to Troy Deeney like that.
I'll try. I in person. I don't know if you know this. He's huge.
My man, you would be intimidated just by the size of his neck. It's quite
but
intense.
I asked him and he said, no, you had a good game. As long as you score the winner, you had a good game. So sure. Mbappe, great game. Haaland, on the other hand, we talked a little bit about him. I think in a way we were both right about Haaland, about Norway. I think Haaland is going to be clinical. He's masterful. Sorloff is doing bits. He didn't get on the score sheet, but he was doing a bunch of stuff. The guy they brought in, someone whose last name also ends in guard, he scores off a header immediately after walking in. You're seeing that they are an offensive weapon. Defensively, though, they are kind of sus. They need to bring that unit together a little bit. Can Erling Haaland get back there and defend?
Against Iraq, I mean, this is kind of what we expected, and we were on yesterday's show just thinking, like, if Iraq could have a good game and it would effectively, even if they lost, but even if they had a good game, it would sort of change the narrative about this group. But, I don't like doing, because I've been seeing this online as well, of like, oh, Messi got a hat trick, but it was against Algeria. And they're kind of sort of doing, like, they're at the World Cup.
It
wasn't easy to get there. Yes, you might be playing against competition that is incredibly tough, but you also have the stories of, like, a Cape Verde that they should get, you know, just wiped off the map essentially on the pitch, and that isn't the case, right? So they can be these stories. So no, credit to Haaland, Messi, and Mbappe. But who had the best night out of the three?
Out of the three of them, you have to say Messi. Only because there were a lot of questions. A lot of people thought they should maybe be left off the team.
Mm-hmm.
Messi had his moment. You know, now he plays in MLS, and you know he's a little bit too old. Will he even start? Do we even need him? And he came in and he absolutely bodied, bro.
He
just looked good in every facet of the game.
Lionel Messi is going to be 39 years old next week. So as far as having the best...
God, I didn't get him anything.
Wait, not again. 39 years in a row.
In a row. I keep missing. Why can't the World Cup be every year? What a Tuesday it was.
Shout out Yahoo Sports. Who's actually running the Yahoo Sports account? Yeah. Can we talk to them?
Just bring the intern in.
No, it's not. It is a well-paying job. That's respect. I just want to know who it is, just so I can feed him a couple of lines.
High five him too. You know,
why can't the World Cup be every year? Why can't the Cooligans be every day? You know what I mean?
Well, we are, by the way. One to one.
That's what we need. But those are the kind of tweets we need.
But I'm a fan of a World Cup every 2 years. I know when you think about it, when we're not in a World Cup, you like the terrible idea. Think about it right now. Wouldn't this be amazing every other year?
Nah, I'm good with that.
You're a hater.
Years.
Hater, dude. Christian hates progress. He wants things to remain the way they are.
It's a lot. Well, you got your 48 teams. I mean, there's more games.
Everyone in the world should attempt to qualify. It's so stupid.
I mean, everybody does attempt to qualify.
No, but they can't for the knockout rounds. It's called the World Cup.
Yes, and the world has an opportunity to participate.
I don't like it.
You know, early on it used to be the teams that were invited. It was just like the early World Cups.
The first one.
And some teams were like, you know what? I don't want to take boat. I don't want to take the steamboat for 2 months to go play in the World Cup. So there has been a significant progress.
But who finished in third place in the first ever World Cup?
Los Estados Unidos.
After scoring the first hat trick ever in a World Cup. How about that?
Okay.
How about that? Eat that, England.
You know what? Messi's hat trick is a little less impressive now.
Yeah. I got to be honest. Bert Trebrand or whatever that guy's name was.
Hey, for the rest of the show, we're only talking about Miroslav Klose. We've decided.
You know what? We're going to close the case on Mbappe. Haaland and Messi.
Okay.
We're going to move on. But as far as I'm concerned, I think you have to say Messi had the best night.
Yeah, it is. I mean, look, we just started this World Cup. Effectively, we're almost. It has been 7 days. I think this is the 7th day, right? Which is already crazy.
Hasn't been a month and a half yet.
But I think his age is what makes it even more impressive. Also the first goal, I think for fans of Major League Soccer, and which we watch week in and week out, and we're watching, whether we're watching Inter Miami or we're watching FC Dallas or whatever, we see Messi do this, right? And the full expectation is that now that he is in MLS, now that it's, you know, and still the stereotype of it being like a retirement league or whatever, now you're sort of like, yes, he can cook some MLS defenders, but he's still cooking some, you know, Algerian players that play in Germany, that play in across Europe,
of course,
Manchester City, whatever. Like, they're still, he still has an sort of measurable, an immeasurable amount of skill left, and you're like wondering where is the weakness? Like, when is he gonna kind of slow down?
I mean, maybe we'll see that throughout the tournament, but as of right now, he seems to have come in tremendous shape and absolutely had an incredible first game.
Yeah.
And nothing about that game really gives me any warning signals. There's no red flags. However, if we're going to talk about Christian Pulisic, there was a little bit of a warning flag there when he came out in the first half, after the first half, to not be in the second half. And I think you saw the U.S. really slow down. There was a lot of questions as to what was going to happen. We were live on air afterwards, so we didn't get to hear the update that we were promised to give. Mm-hmm. And, oh, everything's fine. Turns out, it's been reported by Tom Bogert, it is a calf injury, and that he's sort of training individually. He's not, I want to be part of the group. Don't let me in Gen Pop. You know what I mean? So we're seeing the tweet here. Christian Pulisic calf is in modified training again today. U.S. Soccer says his status is day-to-day. U.S. Men's National Team faces Australia on Friday. Now, here's the question. After such a great game against Paraguay, I know if you beat Australia and you beat them handily, you're guaranteed almost the top spot in the group. But do you need, and no disrespect to Australia, who look better than I think a lot of us expected, do you need Christian Pulisic in order to beat Australia?
I want to say yes. I think this is one of those play through it, play through the pain a little bit.
So you're willing to risk him, because if you're looking here, where you see the question marks is where Christian Pulisic would have started. Now, I know during the game state, he slides a little bit back. He's a bit more of an attacking midfielder, if you will, mm-hmm. second striker floating in between and a half. When I interviewed Paulo Fonseca, his manager at the time, he calls him a 9.5. So I think we're seeing that. We saw that in the game.
Damn, it's like Harry Potter.
Damn. I was going to say something much worse. But like the glory. But 9.5, that's great. Let me get my face out of this toilet seat. But who do you put in place of Christian Pulisic? So I actually think you don't start Christian Pulisic. I think you use him if you need him, but you hope you don't have to. You can rest him, let that calf get a little bit more healed before the Turkey game, just in case you
need him. I think if it was a non-contact injury, I would be probably a little bit more cautious. But he got like kicked. And it sucks, but I think like when you clearly know how the injury was caused, and you can kind of walk it off, champ. You got this.
But wasn't his calf already kind of hurt a little bit beforehand?
So. No. I mean, he finished the season at Milan. He played a few matches. I mean, they ended their season very disappointingly in the final day of the season, missing out on Champions League. So that's, if I was a coach, I'd be like, man, Christian, we need you. Like, I know it's difficult, but I think the 3 points against Australia are much, and I say this with all due respect, a little bit easier to get versus what they would be against Turkey. Because Turkey, they already lost their first game. They're going to be much more desperate. So if we can win in the first half and be a little bit dominant and similar to against Paraguay, then Christian Pulisic can leave in the halftime, maybe leave in 60 minutes. And so I would play him if that was an option. If I hear day to day, he's a gamer. He wants to support the team and help the team. This would be a fantastic moment. You know, a little Jordan flu game kind of thing.
I mean, yeah, I could see that. And I wouldn't be upset if he did that. But part of me believes you don't need Christian Pulisic. And that's why we brought in the subs that we brought in. We're looking at the group standings here. We're in pretty good standing. Obviously, we've only got a goal differential up on Australia. But, as far as I'm concerned, you got a guy like Gio Reyna. You have Tim Weah. You have Malik Tillman, who can sort of play the 10 on his own. You can bring in a Ricardo Pepi maybe as a second striker if you want to play with two strikers. Although I don't know necessarily if Pochettino wants to do that. I think there's other players. We brought in such a versatile squad for a reason. We got to be able to protect a guy like Christian Pulisic and maybe not make it worse. It's very likely that, yeah, it's just precautionary that he's training on his own and that he'll be able to start. And if it is a little bit wobbly, you get him out in the first half again. And if you look at sort of the gradient of our stats for that first match, the U.S. kind of fell off the cliff a little bit in the second half. And a lot of that came because of the dynamism that Christian Pulisic brought. You know, we're looking at here, two big chances created, 82% pass accuracy. He dribbled three different players. Well, one of them magically dribbled two at the same time.
But that led to the first goal, the own goal.
And he's a dynamic player and you need him. But we have other dynamic players. I don't understand why maybe you don't start a Gio Reyna on the left.
I think it's...
Let him flow back. I think Malik played too similar of a role.
Yeah, I think Tillman and Reyna are too similar and there's maybe a few defensive risks. But you would imagine against Australia that the U.S. should have more of the ball. Maybe you can take that kind of risk. Maybe try to kind of overpower them offensively. But again, Australia has a few good players that can get you on a counter. So defending is going to be something that you can't like not prioritize a little bit. But as far as
I don't necessarily know if we need to like have like defenders for like set defending. You know what I mean? Like defending them while they're in our final
third. Well, Sebastian Berhalter came in for Pulisic at halftime in the last game. I wouldn't hate that. If that's the decision
as a starter,
like I mean, I think it could.
You'll find a way to bring in someone like a Gio Reyna.
I'm saying I don't hate it. All it tells me is that Pochettino's like thinking like we might get hit on the counter, maybe try to control the ball a little bit more. Just like Sebastian Berhalter, you know, especially with the national team, definitely doesn't play as forward as he does with the Vancouver Whitecaps. So I think it would be a decent option. I'm not saying that that's ever even the best one, but it would be. The strategy that I would kind of lean towards.
What about this? Move Balogun to the left, Zendejas on the right. It's his position.
It is his position. It's not terrible.
Also, Australia is probably going to muddy it up a little bit. You know what I mean? They're going to be a little rough. He plays in Mexico. He plays in Liga MX. He knows how to get play in the mud, if you will.
Yeah. Also, people, if you're watching on YouTube in the chat, let us know what you think.
What would you do?
Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting problem because I do think there's a lot of alternatives, but the alternatives sort of change. They change the philosophy a little bit, right? Because just like, again, the leadership, the confidence, like it's annoying that we're sort of in this position because this is...
After one game. Yeah.
Even though I still think the U.S. is the better team and they should have, they should get the result here. And I think they can get the 3 points. But Pulisic was just on a different level. I was watching the Mixed Zone interviews that he was doing. He was just talking about how significant and meaningful it was to play in LA and just having a pro US crowd when it's like most of the time that isn't the case. And when they play either their friendlies or their World Cup qualifiers, it's always a challenge in the US. So
we need to play Paraguay more. why don't we go to the comments? Because I'm sure we have some great comments. Maybe you guys could tell me who starts.
Okay.
Something's wrong with the feed. Alexis is on the left. And Skolnick, oh no!
We discussed this before when we were doing rehearsals.
What happens if Ronaldo doesn't score today? No one on the Portuguese team will bring it up. That's what's going to happen.
You know what happens if he doesn't score today? He's guaranteed to start the next game. Okay. This is Hannah Banana says Messi has that MLS bump at the World Cup. You can't make any arguments.
You can
there.
Hate MLS all you want. You got nothing to say today.
Pedro Navas says, breaking news. All this tequila in Ciudad de Mexico is making all the Uzbeki huz look like Sofia Vergara.
The way you brought it all in.
You really connected so many aspects of our show.
You really did.
That's how I know you're an OG, Pedro. Thank you.
Bro, Pedro, bro. Absolutely amazing. I know the Cooligans is known as a family show, so I'll just say that my fellow Colombians partying better set up a good low block up or call each other may now become an actual medical diagnosis.
Okay. This is, I don't know what's going on here.
Someone explain it.
Okay. Pete Morton says, I'd start Weah on the left, Dest on the right, leave the midfield the same, or Reyna for Tillman if he has a knock. Dest on the right. So you want to play as a like a winger? Oh, I mean, he's a right wing back.
Fat Mob had him as an attacking midfielder. Dest. It's crazy.
He's playing as a wing back.
We left that one alone. I'd start way on the left, Dest on the right, which I think makes a lot of sense. The Dest, I think, stays as like your attacking fullback, wing back.
Yeah. And he did great. And I think that's where he should stay. It's way up. Zendejas, like, it's a winger, without a doubt. Like, there's no other. Yeah. I mean, I guess I suggested Sebastian Berhalter if you want to just play a little bit more cautious. But those are the only three, I think, if Pulisic doesn't start. But again, I would say start him.
If he goes Pepe, though, I wouldn't also be mad, because I'm like, oh, he's trying to go after this. You know what I mean?
That'd be interesting. All right. Yeah. We shall see. All right. We got a lot more to cover. We're going to be joined a little bit right after this with Ben Fox. We're going to be talking of Yahoo Sports. We're going to be talking some betting angles right after this.
That guy Fox. All right, welcome back to the Cooligans, baby. And look, we're going to talk a little bit about where we should put our money during this World Cup. Mm-hmm. And of course, we can't do that on our own. We got to bring in the Yahoo Sports senior sports betting analyst, the one, the only, Ben Fox.
Welcome back now in person.
This is exciting, guys. Yeah. I was saying, I'm here for the content. I'm here for the show. There's a line for the Katz's Deli right? I gave that up. Here.
That's crazy.
We're ready to do the segment.
You could have just called from your phone from the line for Katz's Deli. They brought Katz's Deli into the studio today. You
know. Yeah. So,
I can smell it and I can't eat it. You know how difficult that is? Oh, my God.
It looks good.
It does.
The perks at the Yahoo office are quite nice, okay? Yeah. Everybody's like, you know, work from home, what a terrible idea.
I'm on in.
You know what I don't have at home? Free coffee.
Okay. Ben, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome back. Let's start. U.S. Australia, obviously, we're just talking about it. And I think, the story around Christian Pulisic maybe influences some of these betting choices. But do we trust? We see that there's an over. Do we trust the over or under on this one, the U.S. Australia? So the plus 100 or under 118.
Yes. All right. Set at 2.5, right? Yeah. 2.5 goals over under. That's combined both teams. I kind of think this does depend on whether Pulisic plays, right? And you guys were talking about that last segment, too. It's a little bit like, do you want him to play? Can you rest him? I would personally probably not play him, at least the first half, right? We saw kind of the difference in the first half, how the U.S. looked, certainly against Paraguay, and the second half. And yeah, it was 3-0. You didn't necessarily have to go for it in the second half, but we were not exactly a dangerous side most of that second half. So I think if he plays, I like that over 2.5.
Okay.
Coming into the World Cup, just for the group odds, I think Paraguay was about plus 350 to win the group. Australia was 9-1. Right. So Paraguay is the higher power rated team, the better team, at least in the eyes of odds makers. So if we beat them 3-1, right, pretty comfortably, you would think we'd be able to get by Australia. And it's a little bit like the NBA, right? When you look at sometimes at the box score afterwards, like Australia won 2-0 over Turkey, but you actually look at it, Turkey dominated shots, I think it was like 30-9. They created more expected goals. Like Turkey really dominated the game everywhere except where it matters, which is the score sheet. So ultimately, I think if the U.S. plays up to their capabilities, they get it done, whether it's 2-1, 3-1, somewhere in there. But that is a big, we kind of got to see if he's going to play or not.
Okay. Well, we beat them 4-1. Paraguay, you said 3-1. And I just don't want to take
away.
Don't
take it away.
Goal was too good.
You're right.
That was a fantastic.
It was late. It still counts. Right. Yes.
It's easy to forget. We were typing up everything as if it was 3-1.
Yeah. Good point.
In fact, you mentioned goals. Flo Balogun had a stellar first match. Would you back Flo Balogun, who's at plus 125 to score? Or do you take the field?
So I like him to score. This is a good like lesson as well for bettors that it's kind of like Uber and Lyft, right? You can shop around for the same ride, right? So I saw this around like plus 150 or better odds at some, depending on the book. I do like him to score. I think there's certain players that just kind of look and feel play different. I'm not saying he's Mbappe because he isn't, but just from covering that game, the France game, Mbappe moves differently.
Yeah, I see it.
He's different among all the athletes. Balogun's not that level, but he just looks so good. I, as a casual fan, hadn't seen him really play before. Mm-hmm. And just for the U.S. team, right, it's like, oh, that guy is different.
Yeah. I should watch him more.
Yeah. Just like, he looks amazing. Again, very composed, first touch. Like yesterday, Mbappe, the first half, first touch is not great. Mm-hmm. Second half, different story. He doesn't need much. I do like him to score. I think, again, Pulisic plays, gets him the ball in those dangerous spaces. He's looked so good in the first game. I see no reason why that wouldn't continue the second game. But shop around. Make sure you get that same price. No reason to take the ride for, you know, $15 if you can get it for $10. Right. Sports Ben's the same way.
Date multiple women at the same time, says Ben Fox.
You said it, not me.
You got to see what's going on.
No, he quoted you. That's according
that's a direct
to,
quote. Okay. I might rearrange the spelling of your last name. All right.
So I love even just the analysis of, like, you know, as a casual fan watching Flo Balogun, you're like, oh, you're not used to sort of seeing it, you immediately recognize, like, this doesn't feel like or look like an American player that we were sort of used to seeing. And I just reminded him, like, just thank goodness he was born in Brooklyn.
Yes.
Like,
thank God they didn't let him on that plane. His mom on that plane.
A lot of good people born in Brooklyn, myself included. Yeah.
All right. And so another one we have is U.S.'s chances of keeping a clean sheet. This is kind of like a risky one, right? Because U.S. defensively has always been just a little bit of a concern. I think offensively we shined, but we did give up that one goal against Paraguay. But how do you feel about that one?
Yeah, and I think we talked about last week. I think it was one game in the last 11. Yeah. Maybe we had a clean sheet. Now that's 1-12. And we saw it against Paraguay, right? It was like, I think, essentially a goal kick to a header to like one pass. Like, right. It was very quick. It's just kind of like a lapse in judgment for the best part. Like, you're up 3-0. Somebody doesn't go for the ball that happens. But I think that is the concern. So I would look for both teams to score. I think even if the U.S. is in control in the game, we just haven't really shown that we can keep a clean sheet, right? And keep that focus for even against potentially a lesser side. So that is another one that I like, even if I think we're in control like we were in the first game.
Gotcha.
Right. Let's talk a little bit about England versus Croatia, right? This is a big match for the England fans. They're figuring out, do we switch our allegiance to a different nation or do we believe it's coming home? Those are the only two options for England fans. But one thing that happens pretty consistently is Harry Kane scoring. And he's at plus 130. Is this easy money? Or are you thinking it's somebody else to score?
Man, so plus 130 is tough. Now, look, Haaland's yesterday, for example, was minus 275 to score, which is wild.
It's like it's going to happen.
And Mbappe, I think, was minus 115. Messi was right around there. So these are worse odds than that. It still seems a little high to me. I would potentially look at, like, whether you want to look a little further down the board. I think I had Bellingham, Marcus Rashford. Maybe if there's a couple guys you like at plus 200 or more, you pick a couple of those. One of them scores. Mm-hmm. You're profitable. He has, 61 goals or something? Dude. Like, it does.
In all competitions, England stats, 79 goals and 100 starts, dude.
You just are a little, you're a little discouraged when, like, at BetMGM, he is the most bet player of anyone to score today, right? So the public doesn't always typically win. Public did win yesterday on these. Doesn't mean they won't, but it scares me a little bit that everyone obviously likes him after they saw all the stars score yesterday.
This is a little different. Did you see it? It might not be real, but somebody supposedly bet $1 million for Spain to win.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they would have only won like $1 million and like $80,000. And
was,
they lost.
Was real, yes.
That was real. They lost the million.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. On Spain to beat Cape Verde. Yeah, so it was a tie. So they didn't win.
That's remarkable. Okay. Well, I mean, I would imagine they have some disposable income if they're doing.
I think so.
Either that or, God forbid, all your neighbors' homes.
That was a rough day.
I got a lot of explaining to do to the HOA.
So, Mexico, South Korea. Do we trust this game to finish with both sides with 11 players? Because there were 3 red cards in the first game. Is that when it comes to the betting odds as far as like red cards, yellow cards and stuff like that? How do we feel about this?
Yeah, I did like that question. That one stood out among them. Like, I think sometimes it just depending on the match and the referee, right? I think that just kind of went down a certain path for that first game. I don't think that'll happen in this one. These two, both teams are pretty impressive in their first match. So I think it's a good game. Mexico favored. I think we'll have all 22 players at the end. But this one should come right down to the wire. I mean, I think they both look good in the first match. I was impressed with South Korea, too.
Sure. This might be a rough one for Mexico. But on to Scotland-Morocco, and then I have a question for you after this.
Yeah.
But Scotland-Morocco, after he scored against Brazil, what are the chances that Ismael Sabiri does it again? He's at plus 135, so not that different from Harry Kane's
score. Plus 195, just a
correction. Is it 195? Yeah. 195, oh my God.
Even better.
Oh, that's even better.
I do like him to score. I like Morocco to win. I'm surprised that they're only kind of, I think they're around minus, 135 to win the match. Scotland about plus 400. I covered that Morocco-Brazil game at New York-New Jersey Stadium. I have to be very careful. Right. in East Rutherford. Morocco was really impressive. Like the first 15, 20 minutes, if you just took the, switched the colors and they were all neutral, you would think that was Brazil, right?
Yeah, sure.
Pre-match. So they looked really good. Brazil kind of, dominated a little bit after that, especially in the second half. But they looked really good. Obviously, a lot of players back from the last World Cup. They had that great run. So I do like him to score, and I like them to win. I'm a little surprised they're not a bigger favorite. Again, Scotland has been like the social media star of the World Cup.
I want to hang out with Scotland fans all the time.
Fantastic.
That's all I want to do.
Fantastic.
I do a quick question before. We're going to go to comments, but I noticed that in a lot of these betting apps, I can't find Woodwork Hit. Have they taken a lot of these prop bets out for the World Cup?
I think it probably depends on the book, but I would guess, a lot of them are. There's so many ways to bet it. You're just saying to hit the crossbar
or the
woodwork.
Post. Oh, my God. That was like my magic. For any parlay, I would throw that in there.
Yeah.
But you would imagine, it feels like the quality is so high that people are getting so many good chances. The crossbar, the woodwork, the posts are getting hit pretty much every game.
Every game I've seen, the woodwork's been hit. So that's why I'm like, what? I told my buddy about it, and he's like, dude, I can't find it on any book.
And in general, if there's something that was profitable at the last World Cup, sportsbooks probably have looked at it and said, wait a second, we lost a lot of money on that.
Right. I was so upset. Yeah. Well, let's check out some of the comments. What do you guys got for us? You got questions for Ben?
Yeah, whatever.
Or are you just making fun of my shirt? What's going on out
there? I'm sure there's, we got plenty of that.
A little column A, a little column B.
Sure. All right, well, we got Brooke and says Berhalter would be good for set pieces if Pulisic is out, and also maybe even when he's back. Shout out to Brooke Ann, because this is something I've thought, especially in the two friendlies, the Paraguay and Uruguay friendlies that Pulisic didn't play in. We saw Sebastian Berhalter and we saw Max Arfstin taking corner kicks, and
they sent in some good corners.
Like, okay, these are artists.
Hey, Pulisic, don't ever do this again.
we
love you, dog. Don't ever do this again.
Okay,
he said Berhalter has the recovery speed of a player that has a much better touch. No way he should start. So you use the compliment.
Nice.
Are you related to my mother-in-law by any chance? Because that was masterful.
Well done.
You didn't even need the emoji. That's how good that was.
P. Morton says, U.S. versus Australia is going to be USMNT 2026 versus USMNT 2010 with Charlie Davies in the lineup. Okay.
Oof. You saying them boys only play rough?
Okay. And then
Tuchel makes every team he coaches offensively worse, in my opinion. It's like 90s Italia, says P. Morton. I'm not so sure. I mean, I know he's a lot like Arteta in the sense it's like be defensive first and then we can move the ball forward, always protect your goal. But I don't think he's that bad, dude. Catenaccio, that's crazy.
I don't know what England's record was throughout the qualifiers. I mean, I feel like I paid more attention to the drama around they won every game. We just saw. So we can't ask for much more than that. I mean, it's something. I feel like I paid attention more to like the drama of like the players that have been left off or the players that weren't called in a lot of the other qualifiers and other matches. But generally, when that is the criticism, you got really nothing to criticize, right? They're winning all the games that they play. So we'll see how they end up in this first game.
Yeah. And look, this is it for them, right? So this is like, all the gossip and everything.
Right.
As much as the result on the field, it's who's in, who should be in, more playing time, who played well, et cetera. So unless they win 3-0 or something today, they're probably going to be upset, the fans, about something.
Yes. Is there a book where I can bet how many players from other nations get women pregnant in America during the World Cup?
not any legal one. Book somewhere else.
Suddenly I'm more interested.
Ben, I just want to let you know, that question's not on here.
That was written by Ben Yahoo.
That was the fill for time question.
Yeah, no, actually, they're really upset I did that. We got to go to commercial break. How about this? When we get back, we're going to have a lot more questions for Ben that I can't say on air. No, it's going to be the two of us when we get back right after this. We got way more show.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Let's
How
get
quick we got back to us.
I mean, it's all happening in real time.
I do it all. Okay. Christian Sister says I refuse to move.
I refuse to break a sweat. Let's get into some previews. There's a bunch of really big matches today. We talked about a little bit about it with Bemba. Mexico will be playing against South Korea. This is an interesting match. Not necessarily because of any kind of there's I would say it's the opposite of a rivalry, the opposite of animosity. These two teams
until you play.
These two teams like love each other, yeah. Right? The fan bases love each other. Again, the appreciation from the 2018 World Cup when South Korea won and helped Mexico go through, mm-hmm. And then you're seeing South Korean fans in Mexico. Partying with mariachi.
I wish I was South Korean and I was in Mexico.
They're having an absolutely great time. Yeah. So I think
it's But what's going to happen when South Korea beats Mexico? Because I think that's what's going to happen here.
I don't know, man. I think these two teams are fairly evenly matched up.
I also agree.
I'm gonna go with the home side at the World Cup. I think they're gonna have that is gonna give them a little bit more of a will to win. But I again would not be surprised if South Korea end up getting a win or at least getting a result in this game.
I mean, I'm looking at Raul Jimenez. I'm looking at Quiñones, who was really good in the first match.
Who scored the first goal in the World Cup.
As my friend said, I can't believe a Blackican scored. And he's also half Mexican. So I'm like, your peoples.
Let's go.
Yeah. Okay. This is your peoples right there. So I'm excited to see this game because I want to see, was it the vibe of the first game being at home? You know, similar to U.S. men's national team versus Australia. I want to see which Mexico actually showed up to the
show. Sure, and it was like... It was against South Africa. Is that a judgment on South Africa being bad or Mexico being good?
There were moments where Mexico looked like they were a little bit susceptible too. So South Korea, it's going to be a little bit more disciplined.
I think the refereeing kind of took over the conversation because and people weren't necessarily paying attention to how good Mexico were or how bad South Africa were because the refereeing decisions were kind of crazy. I still think that red card against Mexico was absurd. I can't make any sense of it. But it feels like overall, I think they have the better players. And also, it was great to see Raul Jimenez get his goal. His first goal in the World Cup was also very emotional.
Incredible for someone his age.
Yes. And then also, his father had passed away recently. So it was clearly an emotional time, an emotional moment. But yeah, this is so far. Yeah, my first thought. I mean, just looking at this lineup, and I thought Mexico were pretty sharp, and then second half it got a little crazy. But overall, the home form, and we're looking at just some photos of Brian Gutierrez, who I also thought had a fantastic game.
He made an early mistake, and I was like, oh boy. And then he really came into his own.
He drew the first red for South Africa on the Dogso foul. But I thought he is a player who hasn't had much time. He made the switch from U.S. To Mexico and is now starting in the midfield for and
effective.
Yeah.
Super effective, especially in the final third, which is where you want to be.
Yeah, and he's an interesting player. Obviously, came up in MLS. He's a Chicago Fire homegrown. And even at a young age for the Chicago Fire, you just saw something different. Even I think he still is, maybe Hugo Kuypers is, but he was the penalty taker, the designated penalty taker at like 19, 20 years old.
You don't see that often.
You don't see that often.
Like, so give him time.
A lot of trust in him, whether it's with Berhalter, whether it's with other coaches. Like, he's had a decent career, and I think he's shiny right now for Mexico.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's take a look at the South Korea starting lineup because I truly believe that South Korea is going to do some damage here in Mexico. But what we're looking at here is sort of a dynamic setup. And the one name we're probably all going to be talking about is Heung-min Son.
Yeah.
Does he still have it after what Messi did? Heung-min's got way more legs than Messi has. We see it week after week at LAFC. So I'm expecting him to kind of ball out, especially being the focal point, you know?
Sure. I would I forgot who got the red card for Mexico, the defender. I hate that I'm forgetting his name. But I think him not being in this our producer will tell us. Don't worry about it. Him not being in this game, I think is a huge advantage for Mexico. Because he's just he's a very, very tall center back that I think could make, you know, South Korea.
Cesar
Montes. Okay, so not having him around, I think, is a huge advantage for Mexico, just because he's like an absolute unit, and everything, set pieces and stuff like that would just be just make it a little bit more difficult.
So Mexico has looked bad defensively in like past friendlies and stuff. So in a lot of the pre matches. So you want to keep your center backs, you know, the starting center backs.
I'm gonna go with the home team and South Korea. I mean, Son, and then also Kim and Jay, center back. I mean, at Bayern Munich, fantastic players.
They're stacked.
They're stacked. They're stacked. They have a lot of just a fun team to watch and a fun like matchup. Again, I think these two teams are like sort of evenly matched, but I'm gonna go with the home team just because I think they have a.
All right, I love Mexico, but I think South Korea's got them on this one.
Okay, next up, let's take a look at Uzbekistan versus Colombia.
Sorry, Colombia.
Los Cafeteros.
This is the Hachipuri boys.
Let's go.
That's Georgia, actually. Never mind. I'll figure out in Uzbekistan.
I had no idea what Alexis was saying, so I had no idea if I should correct him or not.
So this is how Colombia is gonna set up. Look, tons of names, right? We're all looking at James Rodriguez and Luis Diaz. Is probably the names where you're going to lead the attack here. I'm not worried for Colombia. I'm actually really confident that Colombia is going to figure out a way to break down the Uzbekistani defending.
Yeah, I'm not as familiar with Uzbekistan outside of the one guy that plays in Manchester City. Mm-hmm. But
I've heard of Kucherov.
But this is a strong squad. Who not only a strong squad, but like in good form. I mean, Luis Diaz has been fantastic. I mean, Bayern Munich got far in Champions League. Munoz at Crystal Palace has been
incredible.
A hugely important piece for them winning the Europa Conference League. I mean, players that are, you know, either former Premier League player all over Europe, Davinson Sanchez. This is James's last World Cup. What is he going to do? We saw it in glimpses at Minnesota United, but there's something happens when he is wearing
a
Colombia shirt.
That's his Superman cape.
It's not the level of like, you know, wanting to win a World Cup for Messi in 2022, but I'm sure there's some something that the rest of the Colombian players want to do for, you know, James's send off.
Also, James wants to do for James's send off.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? I think this is going to be an important world tournament for him because everyone always brings up the same goal against Uruguay, you know, the sort of volley incredible goal and how much that set up his career. But if we look at his club career, It had moments, but it was mostly a disappointment in the sense that, like, you felt that player could put it all together on the club side and it hadn't happened. I think this is a chance to sort of set what's the story of James Rodriguez? Fine. Maybe the club side didn't work out, but every time he put on a Colombian shirt.
I wouldn't say it didn't work out. He's won quite a bit.
It didn't work out to the level of what we all thought after watching him play with Colombia.
Yeah.
And we would all agree he's better in a Colombia shirt than he is in any club shirt that he's worn. But this is a chance for him to solidify his position in the sort of Colombian sphere, stratosphere. Where does he sit among the greats with Colombia? I think this is a chance. This World Cup is a chance for him to cement that spot.
I agree. Okay, let's move on to...
Let's talk about Shmurmadov, because I think this guy's a bucket. This is your striker for Uzbekistan. Obviously, you guys know Kuzinov. If you know any of those other players, you're
watching a lot of
Uzbekistani league matches. But Shmurmadov used to be at Roma. I can't remember exactly where he is now, because I know he just got to move to transfer windows. But this guy is a bucket. He's not necessarily the type of striker that maybe in training you trust to start. Mm-hmm. But when he's playing, he's a bucket. So I want you to look out for Shmurmadov. This guy can ball.
Okay. And the head coach for Uzbekistan is the legend, Fabio Cannavaro. So it's not a nice,
Uzbekistan spending money on the coaches,
some expertise when it comes to that. But yeah. I mean, we'll see how this first game goes. Yeah. We've been surprised by some of these results, but Colombia should.
I believe Tashkent Market is an Uzbekistani market. Have you been to Tashkent?
I have not.
They have two. They have one deep in Brooklyn. They just opened one up on West 4th.
This is the first
time. Hot food.
They got a whole hot food
this
section.
This is the first time I'm hearing Tashkent. I've never heard the word, and we learn new things every day.
New York got two Uzbekistani markets. What's your city got?
Okay. Ghana against Panama.
Damn, the Spanish word for win versus Panama. looking at Ghana. Dude, I'm a big fan of this Ghanaian team. Obviously, Antoine Semenyo, one of the best players you've ever seen with your own eyes. You know, you were very up on him when you saw him at Bournemouth in the summer before he makes the move to City. This is going to be a player difficult for pretty much anybody to stop.
Yeah, this is, I mean, Semenyo, you know, ended up winning two trophies, but Carabao Cup
and FA Cup,
yeah. And was a huge addition to Manchester City, which is one of those like, bro, y'all already spoiled. How are you getting arguably the best?
They got Cherki and Semenyo, right?
Cherki was at the beginning of the season, Semenyo came in.
Who's the second? Gehi.
Yeah.
What a spoil of riches, man.
And Jordan Ayew still here, bro.
Yeah, man. The Ayew brothers, bro. They don't go away.
They ain't going anywhere, bro.
He's like, Hamas is in. I'm in.
But this is the thing, is that they're still effective.
The starters.
Yeah,
the starters, bro.
Semenyo is obviously the big standout. And he was at the beginning of the Premier League season last year at Bournemouth. Best player on the pitch most times.
Yeah. He's the type of player that has so much skill that you'd never get to see all of it. Because he's like, what do I need to do to make the game great? But there's moments where I'm like, hey, buddy, you're already winning. Why don't you take the ball around and shine a little bit?
I was saying this last summer when we went to the Premier League Summer Series. I went to go see a Bournemouth play against Everton at MetLife. And what did I tell you when I
that's how I brought it in the segment. I said you're the best player you've ever seen with your own eyes.
Not even best player I've seen with my eyes, but I was just like, I was not aware. Like we watch these games on TV, but I was watching it in person. I'm like, best player on the pitch. Why aren't more people talking about Semenyo?
Why isn't there a camera just following him around?
And then we need Semenyo cam. And then he gets the huge move to Manchester City. So
only three goals for Ghana, which is kind of interesting. But I also think, like, you know, when you make that big move, I think it allows you to be like, now pass me the ball.
He's a different player than he was last year.
100%.
And he's just literally just leveled up. And, you know, I think probably if he starts at Manchester City at the beginning of the season instead of arriving in the winter transfer window, I think Manchester City win the league. That's how good he
is. Never repeat that again as an Arsenal fan. Why don't we take a look at the Panama lineup while you're coming up with other terrible conspiracy theories and parallel universes?
just terrible takes with Christian Belongo.
Okay, Panama, best of luck out there. that's all I'm going to say.
My main thing here is Panama, when they qualified for the first time in 2018, They were just outdone. They were overpowered.
They were visitors that got to play on the pitch.
Yeah, and it was just I hope they like learned from that experience, and you know, they've had some good moments. They won Nations League. Mm-hmm. They beat the US in that huge game. Remember the guy Waterman? Cecilio Waterman? I forgot his first name.
Es mi ídolo,
right? When he goes up to Thierry Henry, and it's just an iconic moment. I just hope they have a better tournament because it was, we know Panamanian people that just really want to see the team do well. And, you know, my first memory is the game that they had against England in 2018 where they just got demolished.
Yeah, is Coco Carrasquilla not playing?
Carrasquilla, he should be.
Yeah,
maybe the lineup is a little small, so we can't see who's on there. I don't know if he got, maybe he's injured, maybe he didn't get called up.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But he's their most dynamic midfielder, and he is very effective.
Sure.
But you mentioned their game against England. That was bad. I think England's going to have a little bit of a better game against Croatia. So why don't we take a look at their lineup? Because I have a feeling England's going to go on a bit of a run this tournament. I know all of us want to say like they're going to find a way to lose, but I think England has a ton of firepower, and we're looking at it here. Dude, look at the names. This is incredible. Madueke, obviously we know. Harry Kane, you know. Anthony Gordon, you know. Jude Bellingham, you know. Declan Rice, you know. Anderson, you know. Gahey, you know. Reece James, you know. Stones, you know. O'Reilly, you know. Pickford is probably the weakest point.
I mean, what are we doing here?
that was just for me.
That's England number one, bro.
That's just for fun.
I mean, but look, you look at the bench, and even the bench could be another starting lineup.
Saka, Eze, Jed Spence.
I wonder, Anthony Gordon. I like Anthony Gordon. I think Rashford I think he's been better. What he's done at Barcelona, I think, is fantastic. But I understand Anthony Gordon's pace is kind of unmatched. But
Anthony Gordon just got a huge.
He did. Yes, yeah. I do know that. I'm not saying he's trash. I'm just saying.
I think Rashford is a perfect guy to bring it off the bench.
Okay.
He's a change of pace.
I think the reverse. Right. I think Anthony Gordon would be a fantastic player to bring off the bench. I think the experience that Rashford offers. Yeah, Croatia's not going to be an easy team.
This is not a
rematch of the 2018 semifinal that England lost. Did they lose in penalties? I don't remember. I might have. I don't remember. But I think this sets up well for England with a manager like Thomas Tuchel to be a little bit more defensive, a little bit more pragmatic, because Croatia are not going to make it easy. This is, even though a lot of players are older and blah, blah, blah. Yeah,
but look at this. Look at the midfield in particular. You've got Kovacic, Modric, and Perisic.
This is FIFA 2012, bro.
Bro, this is crazy. This is
older squad, bro. I can't believe
Luka's still in there. But he might have a hat trick, because if Messi could do it, Luka, or at least a hat trick of assists.
Yeah.
I think Croatia is no team to sneeze at. I think they're a really difficult team. They're going with the Christmas tree formation, which is kind of wild. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen that in a long time. But I just think England has just... The problem becomes, can they put it together? And this has always been the issue with England. They have all the talent in the world, but can they put it together? The days of, you know, the English national team being like, oh, the Liverpool guys only sit with Liverpool guys, and United City guys only sit with United, and Arsenal only sit with... Those days are over. They're a much more united front. Thank you to Gareth Southgate for doing that. And now I think Tuchel could take them to the next spot. But I'm a little worried for Croatia in the sense that I think they're going to get a little bit run over. Let's look at some of the comments, see if they agree with one of us.
Sure. I don't fully... I don't think they're going to get run over at all. I always look back to the comments from Chiellini after the Euros, after Italy beat England in penalties. And he was just kind of not mocking, but like kind of like, you know, it's England, you know, they're self-conscious. They're like too worried about.
This is a different England, bro. I'm telling you.
So we'll see. All right.
Let's look at the comments because we've got a minute left.
Okay.
Chalaba happened to be vacationing in the U.S. over under his travel agent was
cool. Let's go.
You know, that's a smart move, by the way. The Cooligans have the best financial advice and betting advice. Thank you, bro. You know how hard it has been for me to not get this credit.
We don't have degrees in either, yet we are experts. Should have been a red card to begin with, and the hands of the face should also have been a red. Plus, Infantino smiling after the Messi goal. Weird. I after watching the play with Messi, I'm like, I could see.
Real quick, because we're about to go. Korea beating Mexico wouldn't be so bad for the Korea-Mexican friendship, because a 3 losing would give Mexican fans a reason to be angry at them, which is their favorite thing ever. It's 100% true.
Being mad. Well done. Well done. Thank you for all the comments. Shout out to everybody tuning in. We appreciate it. Again, we're back.
Hit that bell.
Every day, noon Eastern. Come back. See you tomorrow.